What is Theosophy by H.P. Blavatsky? Bite 1. Diogenes Laertius traces Theosophy to an epoch antedating the dynasty of the Ptolemies and names as its founder an Egyptian hierophant called Potamon, the name being Coptic and signifying a priest consecrated to Amun, the god of wisdom. But history shows it revived by Ammonius Saccas, the founder of the Neoplatonic school. He and his disciples called themselves Philalethians, lovers of the truth, while others termed them analogists on account of their method of interpreting all sacred legends, symbolic myths, and mysteries by a rule of analogy or correspondence, so that events which had occurred in the external world were regarded as expressing operations and experiences of the human soul. It was the aim and purpose of Ammonius to reconcile all sects, peoples, and nations under one common faith, a belief in one supreme, eternal, unknown, and unnamed power, governing the universe by immutable and eternal laws. His object was to prove a primitive system of theosophy, which at the beginning was essentially alike in all countries, to induce all men to lay aside their strifes and quarrels and unite in purpose and thought as the children of one common mother, to purify the ancient religions by degrees corrupted and obscured from all dross of human element, by uniting and expounding them under pure philosophical principles. Hence the Buddhistic, Vedantin, and Magian or Zoroastrian systems were taught in the eclectic theosophical school, along with all the philosophies of Greece. Hence also the predominantly Buddhistic and Indian feature among the ancient theosophists in Alexandria, of due reverence for parents and aged persons, a fraternal affection for the whole human race, and a compassionate feeling even for the dumb animals. While seeking to establish a system of moral discipline which enforced upon people the duty to live according to the laws of their respective countries, to exalt their minds by the research and contemplation of the one absolute truth, his chief object in order, as he believed, to achieve all others, was to extract from the various religious teachings, as from a many-chorded instrument, one full and harmonious melody, which would find response in every truth-loving heart. Bite 2. Theosophy is, then, the archaic wisdom religion, the esoteric doctrine once known in every ancient country, having claims to civilization. This wisdom, all the old writings show us as an emanation of the divine principle, and the clear comprehension of it is typified in such names as the Indian Bud, the Babylonian Nabo, the Thoth of Memphis, the Hermes of Greece, and the appellations also of some goddesses, Venus, Nitha, Athena, the Gnostic Sophia, and finally the Vedas, from the word to know. Under this designation, all the ancient philosophers of the East and West, the Hierophants of Old Egypt, the Rishis of Aryabhat, the Theodotikai of Greece, included all knowledge of things occult and essentially divine. The Merkabah of the Hebrew rabbis, the secular and popular series, were thus designated as only the vehicle, the outward shell which contained the higher esoteric knowledge. The Magi of Zoroaster received instruction and were initiated in the caves and secret lodges of Bactria. The Egyptian and Grecian hierophants had their aporita, or secret discourses, during which the Mista became an Anuptapta, a seer. Bite 3. To fully define theosophy, we must consider it under all its aspects. The interior world has not been hidden from all by the impenetrable darkness. By that higher intuition acquired by theosophia or God knowledge, which carried the mind from the world of form into that of formless spirit, man has been sometimes enabled in every age and every country to perceive things in the interior or invisible world. Hence the samadhi, or dhyan yoga samadhi, of the Hindu ascetics, the daimonian bodhi, or spiritual illumination of the Neoplatonists, the sidereal confabulation of soul of the Rosicrucians or fire philosophers, and even the ecstatic trance of mystics and of the modern mesmerists and spiritualists are identical in nature, though various as to manifestation. The search after man's diviner self, so often and so erroneously interpreted as individual communion with a personal God, was the object of every mystic, and belief in its possibility seems to have been coeval with the genesis of humanity, each people giving it another name. Thus Plato and Plotinus call noetic work that which the yogin and Kshatriya term vidya. By reflection, self-knowledge, and intellectual discipline, the soul can be raised to the vision of eternal truth, goodness, and beauty, that is, to the vision of God. This is the apoptia, say the Greeks. To unite one's soul to the universal soul, says Porphyry, requires a purely perfected mind. Through self-contemplation, perfect chastity, and purity of body, we may approach nearer to it and receive in that state true knowledge and wonderful insight. Bite 4. Theosophy is the exact science of psychology, so to say. It stands in relation to natural, uncultivated mediumship as the knowledge of a Tyndall stands to that of a schoolboy in physics. It develops in man a direct beholding, that which Schelling denominates a realization of the identity of subject and object in the individual, so that under influence and knowledge of hypponia, man thinks divine thoughts, views all things as they really are, and finally becomes recipient of the soul of the world, to use one of the finest expressions of Emerson. I, the imperfect, adore my own perfect, he says in his superb essay on the Oversoul. Besides this psychological or soul state, theosophy cultivated every branch of sciences and arts. It was thoroughly familiar with what is now commonly known as mesmerism. Practical theurgy or ceremonial magic, so often resorted to in their exorcisms by the Roman Catholic clergy, was discarded by the theosophists. It is but Iamblichus alone who, transcending the other eclectics, added to theosophy the doctrine of theurgy. When ignorant of the true meaning of the esoteric divine symbols of nature, man is apt to miscalculate the powers of his soul, and instead of communing spiritually and mentally with the higher celestial beings, the good spirits, the gods of the theurgists of the Platonic school, he will unconsciously call forth the evil dark powers which lurk around humanity, the undying grim creations of human crimes and vices, and thus fall from theurgia, white magic, into goetia, or black magic, sorcery. Yet neither white nor black magic are what popular superstition understands by the terms. The possibility of raising spirits according to the key of Solomon is the height of superstition and ignorance. Purity of deed and thought can alone raise us to an intercourse with the gods and attain for us the goal we desire. Alchemy, believed by so many to have been a spiritual philosophy as well as a physical science, belonged to the teachings of the theosophical school.